Good morning. Service hosts are coming down. I want everyone to get an outline, pull it out right now, get your pen ready. Some are following on your apps. This is a note-taking church. As I've said many times before, if you just listen, you're going to forget everything in 72 hours. It's proven. But if you'll write something down, the probability is greatly increases that you'll remember what the Spirit of God was saying to you. Whenever He speaks to you, He's always speaking to help us in our lives. This week we were, I guess it was last week, putting up our tree. And as tradition in our home, we put in a real good Christian Christmas movie. We put in The Grinch. And we're watching that and putting up the tree. And this song that I've heard before just struck me. And Cindy Lou Who sang this song. And she lives in Whoville. And they're having a jubilation. And a great party. Everyone in Whoville is excited about Christmas. They're buying and purchasing, decorating their house. Very busy. But Cindy, little 8-year-old Cindy, is having a problem. And she sings this song, "Where Are You Christmas?" You guys heard, you remember that song? Anybody heard that song? I think Faith Hill sings it now. So, "Where Are You Christmas? Why can't I feel you? Why have you gone away? Why aren't I," let's see, what's the next line? Somebody help me out. "Where's the laughter gone? And why can't I hear the music play? My life is changing. The world's rearranging. Does that mean Christmas changes too?" Now, I want to stop right there. Because as she was singing that song, I was touched. Where are you, Christmas? Why can't I feel you? I'm just wondering out loud, you have your note sheet there, if some of us have lost Christmas. Maybe it's been buried under a pile of stress. Work is killing me right now. Or maybe Christmas has been lost through the throbbing pain of just loss, which if you're alive, if you're living, we're all going to experience the pain of loss. Maybe there's been a loss of a dear loved one. Maybe there's been a loss of health, and so it's we've lost that feeling. I can't hear the laughter anymore. Christmas, where are you? Maybe it's just because we're going through a difficult season. For no reason of your own. It's just difficult. The marriage is difficult. How many know if you stay married long enough, you're going to have some challenges? Real marriages have challenges. Maybe you're in a difficult season with your marriage or kids. Or maybe life is just the routine and pace of your life is just moving so fast. It just seemed to suck the joy out of this season. So you have your notes there. I want to talk to you about finding Christmas. Now this is going to be so, I'm just confessing right up front, this message is going to be so basic, so elementary. It's not going to be like this heavy-duty, profound, oh, thank you, Dr. Whitlow, for this deep, profound message. And yet, I must confess that after walking with the Lord so long, I feel like when it comes to this subject, I'm in elementary school. I'm still learning this basic subject, okay? What is Christmas? We're going to start there, finding Christmas. Let's remember that Christmas is all about the unconditional love of God. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Charlie. Already knew that. Can we go home now? No, let's just stay here for a little bit. Let's write it down. Christmas is all about, let's say it together. What is it about? The unconditional love of God. Okay, so let's go to a passage that's everyone's familiar with. You already know it by heart. John tells us in John 3:16, let's say it together. God so what? Loved the world that he what? Gave. Come on, help me. I gave his only son that whosoever believes in him, everlasting life. God loved the world so much that he sent his son from heaven's throne and was born not in a not in the king's castle, but was born in a manger, humbled himself. And he sent his son. Whoever believes in him will not live a life that perishes, that's perishing. But they cannot experience eternal life in some future. They can begin to experience eternal life right now. Do you know that in Christ I'm already experiencing eternal life? I'm not waiting to. I've stepped into it right now in Christ. Whoever trusts and believes in him. Now let's go to that second sentence, okay? Now we don't usually read verse 17, but let's keep going. He did not send his son into the world to what? To condemn the world, but... I didn't know I was going to have to read this morning. Seriously, here we go. Verse 17, where is it here? We find it. For God, right here, for God did not, read it with me, send his son into the world to, but in order that word saved might be helped, might be strengthened, might be delivered, might reach a new level that you could nowise reach without him, that the world might be saved through him. He did not send his son into the world to judge, to condemn the world. Why? Because God so loved the world. Now here's a thought when we think about, you already know this, I know this is basics, the unconditional love of God. What does that mean? What does unconditional mean? Well, what does condition mean? Here's a thought. Conditions have to do with this word performance. Performance. So conditions have to do with performance. So if I do this, you do that. You got me? Conditions. If you do this, then I'll do this. That's the conditional love. So I want to ask you four questions just right now, and they're not going to be up there. I just want you to think about them. Maybe you can jot some of them down, but I want you to think about this. What condition do you have to meet before God starts loving you? Don't just answer it quickly. I know you already know this one, but really, what condition? What did you do for God to make the world and so beautiful and flowers and all extras, not just stuff you have to have, but extras too. I just want to put extras in there just so you can enjoy it. What did you do? What did we do? Next question. What do you do to have to finally get God to want to do something nice for you? I mean, if God would just, if I could just do something so he would finally answer my prayer. Doesn't he want to? What do you have to do to get him? Lord, I want to try to get you to do something nice for me. How about this? At what point do you earn God's approval and his acceptance and his love? Now, think with me. At what point is it? Fourth question, what do you have to do to make God happy? Because after all, I mean, he's angry, right? Isn't he? I mean, God is just, that's his set character. He's usually got a frown on his face. He's usually angry, and I have to do something to change that, to actually get him to be happy. I mean, he's not just generally happy with just me sitting here and just breathing and just enjoying life. I got to get up and do something to make him happy. Well, what do you have to do, again, to make him happy? Now, I had a a staff pastor who came up to me, and I'm not going to mention his name, but Pastor Brian came to me, and he noticed that that something was wrong with me, and he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "What we always say, nothing's wrong." Right? Don't we say that? That's what we say. And he said, no, really, what's happening? What's wrong? I said, well, you know, da, 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 da. And then he asked this question that I won't forget. He said, what's going to make you happy? He said, because we're all here. I'm here. We're all here to serve you and to help you. And anything that you've asked us to do, any challenge, any ministry, any program that you've asked us to do, we've not only done it, but we've excelled in doing it. So just tell us what's going to make you happy. How many glad you came to church? Whoo, this is getting good. I'm hearing these. How many say this with me? Ouch. Ouch. You know what I found out that being a leader means that you say I'm sorry a lot? Anybody found that to be true? Any parents? Come on. You found it to be true as a parent that you... You know, it must be unbearable or at least difficult when you live under a constant cloud of, couldn't you do that better? When you live under a constant feeling of, you're not good enough, or that's not good enough, maybe some of you know what that feels like at work. You've got a boss that you just you try, you do whatever, but you just can't make him or her happy. I wonder out loud if that's what some of our homes are like. Maybe that's the condition of some of our relationships. Maybe some of our marriages. We try, and I just, whatever I do, it's never good enough. There's always something more that I have to do, and we're living under this critical eye, because a critical eye is always observing performance, and it's always conditional, because I'm watching how you perform, and no matter how I perform, I just fall short. And here's the challenge. We all of us swim in this conditional love, don't we? And if we're not careful, if we're not extremely careful, and without the intervention of the help of God, we can consciously, and most of us in here, it's not consciously, it's unconsciously, we begin to see God that way. What's that look like? Well, I just can't make him happy. As if he was mad. As if his attitude needed changing anyway. He's just all the time gloriously glad and good. That can translate into our relationship with God. You see, I try, Pastor. I try. I even came Sunday morning. And the roof hasn't caved in yet. I'm just surprised. I'm doing everything I can, but somehow I feel like God is just not happy with me. There was a time I had a good streak, and it was going for like a year, and then I just kind of fell away, and I blew it. And I know that God is unapproving of me. Now here we are again. We would never say this out loud, but deep down, some of us still feel like the love of God is something that we earn. Prayers, the Spirit of God, the love of God, the help of God, we still feel like it is something that we earn and that we work for. Lord, I'm trying to get you to like me. And yet, if we're not careful, we miss we miss Christmas. We lose it. Romans 5:8 talks about this love. Remember we read this famous verse, "For God so loved." Look at Romans 5:8 says. It says God, read it with me, God shows his itsy bitsy love. How much love? His great love toward who? How did he show that? In this way. Christ. Let's read this again. Christ died for us while we. Now, Paul, the very next verse makes a very profound statement, argument, and he says this. He's talking about the great love of God, which, folks, I'm telling you, I still feel like I'm in elementary school. I'm trying to learn about this great love. He says, if God loved you while you were his enemies, think about this. You were his enemies, and God loved you. He was working for you on your behalf, cheering you on, trying to turn things around. If he loved you while you were his enemies, how much more does he love you now that you are his friends? Now that you have been reconciled to him through Christ, how much more is God for you and will work for you and help you? God did not send his son to the world to see you judged. He sent his son to the world that you might succeed. His love is unconditional. So we remember what Christmas is all about. I know it's tough to understand. Lord, even when I was against you, you were working for me and on my behalf. So let's just stop here, let it sink in. So I want to say to you, just clearly, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you've done, no matter what you did last night or this week, no matter what race you are, no matter what shape you are, no matter if you think you're ugly or if you think you're unathletic or I'm not too smart or you say I've really messed things up, I've loused things up in my life, I want to share with you good news of great joy for all people. What is it, Pastor Charlie? God loves you. Hasn't changed. Now, well, I went to Sunday school. Jesus loves me. I know that, but here's the thing: do you really know it? Do you really know it? This is the foundational premise or lesson, if you will, of Christianity. Foundational. What is it? It's the absolute, unconditional love of God. I mean, this is it. This is foundational. Before we get to like algebra and all the complicated stuff of Christianity, let's just start with the ABCs. I know you already know it. A, B, C. Before you can even read, we have to learn the alphabet. And in true spirituality, in true Christianity, this is the foundation. Right here, the absolute, unconditional love of God. So let's go back to that song, Christmas. Where are you, Christmas? Why can't I feel you? Where is it? It's all around you. It's above you and below me and surrounding me. It's in me. I'm breathing it in right now. I'm exhaling it right now. I didn't merit it. I didn't work for it. It's the unconditional love of God. Well, Pastor Charlie, I don't feel worthy. I didn't do well. If you don't feel worthy, get in line with the rest of us. None of us are worthy. This isn't something that we performed for. That's dealing in conditions. And God's love is free and unconditional. Before I was even thought about, he was doing good things. The unconditional love. Now, I know this is supernatural. It's almost, that's why I prayed for a miracle. How do we understand this? Because most of us in here have never bumped into unconditional love. So it's hard to relate to what I'm, and I understand that. I understand that. Paul, writing the Ephesians church, prayed this prayer, and this is my prayer for this service, right here. Only one thing on the for us to understand today. He says, "I pray." Read this with me, if you would. "I pray that you will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ." The greatness. Pray, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray. Just right now. In fact, can we do that right now? Would you just put your hands out just like this, just right now? Would you pray this with me? Lord, help me to understand the greatness of your love toward me. Would you pray that? Pray that right now, right where you are. Lord, help us to understand the greatness of your love. It would be a miracle. It would be a miracle for me to understand, but help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep, stay with that verse. Help me to understand the greatness of your love. Now, look how it's described. Let's keep reading here. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love. I want to stop right there. Stay with me. How wide? Do you know God's love is wide enough to include you? I want to stop because some of you have already excluded yourself. How do you exclude yourself? Because I did this, I did this, I think this, I did this. You're still thinking in conditional terms. God's love is so wide that yes, sir, yes, ma'am, it includes you. It's not narrow. Wide is the love of God. It's wide. It's long. It's long enough to reach you. Some of us in here this morning just think that you just came because a friend invited you, or your family said they wouldn't feed you unless you came, or you were just, you know, I'm going to please my spouse, you know, whatever that is. But in reality, the truth is that God is behind the scenes. And what is it behind the scenes? It's the love of God trying to reach you. It's long enough to reach you. God's love is higher. Look at it. It's higher than any of your shame. It's so high that it can cover any sin, any regret. Anybody have some regrets? Both my hands are up. Anybody have some embarrassing moments like, Lord, I'm ashamed that I did that or that I thought that, and yet God's love is high enough to cover that. And not only is God's love high, but God's love is deep enough to heal, listen, any hurt. Some of us in here, it's not that you need the forgiveness of sins or God to cover some shameful part of your life, but you have a hurt. Someone has sinned against you. And that pain is deep down in there. I was so hurt by... Someone was telling me a story. He said, "Pastor Charlie, I can't tell you how many times as a child I heard my dad tell me that I was an F up. Only he didn't say F. And I just heard this just over and over. And you can see it. There it is, the conditions. No matter what I do, no matter what kind of grades I get, no matter, I can try my best, but I always seem to fall short. And God's love is not like that. His love is so deep that it can go all the way down into that hurt. That hurt, Lord. I wasn't approved of, but I wanted to say. And God's unconditional love is like an ocean, and it can fill it up and fill us with that confidence. His love. So right here we're at a crux. We'll call it a problem, or we might say it's an insight, because if we don't understand this foundational, this foundational lesson of spirituality, of Christianity, it impacts everything else. Do we have this insight up there? In other words, we might say it like this. If the foundation is off, this is the foundational lesson. If the foundation is off, guess what? Come on. Everything is off. For some of us in here, there's a reason why the Christianity thing isn't quite working. You still just, you know, you've advanced on the other things, but the foundation's off. What's the foundation? It's trying to understand, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit, the unconditional favor and love of God. If we don't get this right, we don't grow in this understanding. That's why I was said, here I am so many years later, and I feel like I'm still learning about the unconditional love of God. Here's the challenge, the problem, if we don't get this right. Number one is if we don't understand this love, it will always breed fear. Because performance-based love breeds fear. Fear. You ever just like get a scratch in your throat or something like that, and you're like, oh my God, is God giving me cancer? Or I've done something, and I've fallen short. And the great Punisher, what is he going to strike me with now? And we live under fear. Here's the thing. Maybe the church has done a disservice, but why do so many of us, when we think of God, do we think of the great Punisher? Why isn't God the first spring in our thought? Why don't we think of God as the great lover? No, seriously, I want you to think about that. Why isn't the first thing we think about is God is for me? God is the great believer in me. He hasn't stopped believing in me because love never, his love, what? Never fails. I've messed up now. Maybe I wonder what God's going to do. Maybe he's really unhappy with me now. Maybe you're like me. Maybe not. But I know in my life that my parenting has gotten better the more kids we've had. So I just went to Kate, our oldest, the other day, and I was like, I just want to apologize for all of my parenting with you. I'm just sorry. Just blanket apology. It was awful. She's looking at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, now Jude, who's our youngest, I feel like, you know, I've been doing so much better. There was so much, honestly, if I'm thinking about it, there was so much wrong stuff in me that God's working and growing and in me. I remember a time as I was thinking about this. Isn't it funny how it's still etched in your mind that Kate was probably 4, maybe 5 years old. I'm in there fixing breakfast, and she comes in and says, Dad, can I crack the eggs? Can I crack the eggs? No, you can't crack the eggs. You're going to make a mess. Can I crack the eggs? Can I crack the eggs? Okay, just once. Sure enough, she got up there and cracked the egg, and the egg fell on the floor. And the first thing out of my mouth, see, I told you you'd make a mess. Now look what you've done. And I grabbed the bowl out of her hand, and I get down there trying to pick up the egg and like this and put it back in the bowl. Before the dog could get to it. But in her little heart, she messed up, didn't perform well. And she got to, see, I thought that's what you would do. And that lodges in, and next time it's time to crack the eggs, it's, you go ahead and do it, Dad. I And God did not send his son into the world to create fear and to lodge fear down. God sent his son into the world to dislodge the fear out of our hearts. No, hold on a second. How does that happen? Well, it happens in his unconditional love. Look how John describes it. 1 John 4:16 says God is what? Where are you, Christmas? Right here. It's right next to you. It's all around you. And just doesn't come for one season. It's all year long, every year. God is love. Let's keep going. Read with me if you would. Those who live in love live in God. God lives in them. Where God's love is, there is no what? Ooh. Where God's love is, there is no fear because, keep reading with me, God's perfect love drives out fear. Instead of you being afraid, I want you to tap in, son, daughter, to the unconditional, unmerited, the free love of God and allow that to dislodge the fears that have you captive and allow you to fill with the confidence that comes from him. Real relationship with this God drives out our fears. I just felt, so I was writing and praying over this message, this simple message about the love of God, is I wanted to tell someone in here, and the sound it might be several of us, that God has not given up on you. Some of you are like, man, I tried. I remember I tried, Pastor. I dropped the egg and it just flashed. Well, God doesn't say, look what you did. I knew you were going to do that. You messed it up this time. Give it to me. No. First of all, when you say, God, I want to be a part, he doesn't say no. He says, wow, I thought you would never ask. That's the best thing. Can I help crack an egg? Yes, you're not just one. Here's a whole dozen of them. Let's see how you do. Oh, I messed up. That's okay. I believe in you. Get up and try it again. Oh, I messed up again. It's okay. Get up and try it again. Oh, I've cracked it again. Oh, God, I'm so bad. I don't believe myself. Get up and do it again because I love you. There's a freedom and there's a liberty and there's a strength in that love. That's why we call it good news. The gospel is about the love of God. We could list go on and on, but the other great problem of us when we don't really grasp this love is not only does it create fear, but until we really grasp it, we're really not able to love ourselves and to love others the way we should. There it is. And that's the great problem we see in the world today. I would submit to you, because we don't really understand this love, I can't really love myself and love others exactly the way God loves me. Oh, goodness. Let me just skip. By the way, we had to skip into first service too. So, the love of God. Let me just ask you a question. In fact, I'll read this passage. Are we able to skip down to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10? It's down at the end of the message here. Here, we'll wrap this up. Dear friends, if God loved us that much, come on, read with me. We also, no one has ever seen God, but if we love like he loves us, exactly the same way. Listen. You got it. If we love like he loves us, people will see God. Why? Because he's living in us. Here's a thought I had. Why do people have to meet so many conditions before we'll love them? Is that the way God loved you? No. No, it's not. No, he loved me. He loved me before I even knew him. He loved me when I was an enemy of him. He loved me. Here's a challenge. Let's wrap this up. This first Advent Christmas challenge. Number one, I'm just reminding you of this love, the love of God, is to open up and receive that love. You can't work for it, can't do nothing for it, can't force his arm to do it. You just receive it, Lord. In Christ, I thank you. If you need forgiveness, you just ask for it. Lord, forgive me. Lord, heal me. Lord, strengthen me. These are all free gifts I have in you because of Christ, the unsearchable riches of the gift of God in Christ. And I just receive it and I thank you for it. And then the next step, I want you to in turn give that unconditional love to those who are around you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this season. Lord, I thank you that Christmas hasn't gone anywhere. It's right here. The love of God is right here. It's to my left, to my right, above me, below me. I'm breathing it in and out. Lord, you're my help. You're my strength. Lord, I thank you that you haven't given up on me. When I gave up on myself, Lord, I quit. You are still there, God. And even right now, you're picking me up, Lord. Even right now, you're breathing new life into me, Lord. And I thank you for that. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Lord, thank you that your love is wide enough. Lord, that it's high enough. Lord, that it's long enough. Lord, that it's deep enough. And I rest in that. Drive out fear in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. All of us said. Come on, all of us said. Amen.